I invite you to turn, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. I want to read the first 9 verses. Acts chapter 27, verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramedium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto the city of Lasea. And now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And I'm going to stop right there. Too often we sit and listen to the man of God declaring God's word and turn away and soon forget what was said. It is as James wrote, we look into a mirror and we go away and forget what manner of men we were. And too often we neglect to accept or even care to remember what we saw. Too many times we have heard God's word and neglected it. Too many times we have been exhorted and admonished, hearing great truth, but yet we don't strive to retain what was said. I submit this is because in our own feeble way, we think we know it all. We think we are right no matter what anyone says. And yes, even when it comes to God. Despite their wisdom, their knowledge, their experiences, we are sure that we know how to do it better. I entitle this message, Human Know-How, because the story before us gives a perfect example of what happens when we think that we have all the answers and that we know more than God. The verses show the problems with humans knowing how. And so the title is exactly that, Human Know-How. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for the word that you give to us and how we can read and study. And Lord, we pray that you would just grant us grace that we might find application in our life. And just, Lord, let it be life-altering that we might be found faithful in serving you. And we pray for the lost that they might be saved. And Lord, we ask that as the word goes out today that you would just speak to every heart, meet every need. You know the needs. We pray for the lost that they might be saved. And Lord, just draw us unto yourself, forgive us for our sins, and Lord, help us to be submissive to you in every aspect of our lives. And we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Human know-how. Brief introduction, simply, Paul had been arrested. He had been put on trial, during which he appealed to Caesar. And his appeal was accepted, so it was determined that he should be sent to Rome. Now, the verses which we have read and those which we will consider are a part of that account of his voyage to Rome. So we read part of that down to verse 9. We want to pick it up there in verse 10 where Paul said that he wanted, read in the text that Paul admonished them. And so verse 10, here is the admonishment. So Paul admonishes verse 10. And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of and ship, but also of our lives. What do we find? The Apostle Paul on his way to Rome says, oh, wait a minute, guys, this is not good. We need to stay right here. Paul admonishes them and tells them about the risk if they should set sail so they could try to make it to Rome during that winter season. Now, the truth of the matter is we receive instruction all the time, don't we? We receive wisdom. We receive advice and direction. We might receive it from parents or from siblings. other family members perhaps may be able to give us and lend us some advice. But teachers, bosses, co-workers, on and on and on, we often receive admonishment. We'll receive instruction, direction, and it's good that we do. Now, in this case, it comes from a preacher. And so here they are in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. They're docked. They're getting ready to sail out to Rome. And Paul says, stop, wait a minute. I want to tell you something. That is, we should not leave because it's going to be very dangerous if we do. Now, sometimes it might appear that these people cannot know what they're talking about. I mean, really, truly, here the Apostle Paul, he's a preacher. He's been arrested. He's a criminal from the eyes of the army and from the eyes of the people that run the ship. Here's this guy out of the blue saying, we ought not sail. And they're saying, who are you? What do you know about this kind of a thing? We're the ones that own the ship. We do this all the time. This is our business. And sometimes when people speak to us and give us admonishment, sometimes when the preacher preaches and the declaration of God's word, it might just seem like, well, he really doesn't know what in the world he's talking about. But my friend, don't take all those things with dismiss very easily. We find the Apostle Paul standing up and admonishing the people. And so the truth is, preachers and pastors admonish us all the time. And that's what I endeavor to do, to preach to you. When I go to places, I hear the Word of God. That's what they do to me. They're admonishing me, and they're giving me leadership, guidance, advice. And, well, we need to take heed, don't we? Aren't you glad that God gives us truth? Aren't you glad that the man of God will stand up and declare God's Word? Now, preachers do preach. And so much of the admonishment will come through the declaration or from the pulpit, if you will. And that's how we hear that. But it also comes through counseling sessions. I've not done a great deal of counseling, but I have done some counseling. And so I trust that those things that I've tried to impart have been helpful and profitable unto those people who I've spoken with. But not only that, but you know, just through the general conversation and particular discussions, after the service, we might engage in conversation, might get an email or two, just conversation. Well, you know what? You might be admonished. You might get some things. And again, it doesn't have to be a preacher. It could be a friend, a family member, it could be anyone. But we see in the text about the Apostle Paul, so I think about the ministry and the preaching of the gospel and the declaration of God's word. And so I submit unto you before we continue in the text that God's truth may be read and heard. And the preacher will point out God's precepts and principles of living. At least that's what we ought to be doing. And these will most often conflict with the world's views. In other words, as you hear the truth of God's word, sometimes it's going to come to you and you're going to go, yeah, but that's just not the way I think. That's not what I've been taught. That's not what I've always done. And so you'll hear something out of the scriptures and it's going to go against your grain, isn't it? Here the Apostle Paul stands up before they set sail and says, listen, guys, I perceive that this is going to be a very dangerous thing if we set sail. So you can glance at verse 10, see what's going on there. So Paul admonishes verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, powers believed. Who are they going to believe? Well, verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attend unto Phoenice and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And so what we find is Paul gives this admonishment unto them, hey, we ought not sail. And so they begin to talk about it amongst themselves. They consult one another. And by the way, I do believe it's okay to consult other people. Turn, if you would, to the book of Proverbs for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 11. There is nothing wrong with consultation. As a matter of fact, here where I've invited you to turn, I've asked you to turn so that you might read it and see for yourself. In Proverbs chapter 11 and in verse 14 it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In other words, it's okay to get somebody's take on it. It's okay to get some counsel, some advice, some perspective, a different viewpoint. Nothing wrong with that. And so when you these people here, they heard the Apostle Paul admonish them, they said, well, what do you think? And they began to talk among themselves. And the centurion goes to the owner of the ship and says, what do you think? What's your viewpoint? And they began to talk it among the crew and the leaders there. What's your viewpoint? I submit unto you, it's okay to get a perspective. And I, by the way, I would encourage that. If I preach the word unto you, you ought to have enough sense to look in the scripture to see if what I'm telling you is true. And, you know, sometimes preachers will tell lies. You know, sometimes there are false preachers and false teachers. And you got to check them out by the book. And we're not a perfect people. Sometimes we might make a mistake, so you have to look in the book. You have to check us out. And it's okay to do that, right? Well, I'm talking about this matter of admonishment. And Paul admonishes these people. They begin to consult. But I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with counseling. I would caution you, however, that there is a danger in too many voices. It just muddles it up too much. Too many cooks spoil the broth. I mean, if you get 15 perspectives on a certain thing, you know what you're going to be? Confused. You know why? Because you have 15 different perspectives on this same thing. Get some counsel. Get some perspective. Yeah, get another viewpoint. But if you ask and all you do is just keep asking and looking, you're just going to have great confusion. People do that in our society. When they go from church to church to church to church to church to church to church, they get so confused. You know why? Because they've heard so many different perspectives, they can't sort it all out. And it's a very difficult thing for them to handle. Okay to get a different take on it, but be careful not to overload yourself, because you can do that very thing. But it's okay to consult others. But the centurion here, he believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things that were spoken of by Paul. Now, I'm sure that the centurion is thinking, how can this preacher know about sailing and weather patterns? What does this guy have any kind of experience? At the same time, you have to keep in mind, this is down at the end of the Apostle Paul's ministry. He's traveled the Mediterranean Sea on numerous occasions. He's been on the ships all different times of year. He's been through a couple shipwrecks. And Paul was not ignorant when it came to sailing. But that's what he was not a sailor by trade. Here's the guy, and he says, okay, here's this preacher telling us we ought not set sail. What do we do? So he begins to check it around. Now, Paul says don't do. Everybody else says do. Paul says don't go. Everybody else says go. And by the way, I want to submit unto you that the Apostle Paul was not guessing, nor was he simply giving observation that he gained from experience. I submit unto you that he had experiences sailing all the time. But I believe it was by the insight of God. I think God spoke to his spirit, and he knew this is not the right thing for us to do. He had spiritual leadership, and yet the centurion says, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Now, not only is it the matter of other people's opinions and perspectives, as the centurion sought that out, and he ended up believing everybody else instead of the Apostle Paul, but you also look into verse 12, circumstances might show otherwise. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in. Where they were at, the motel just wasn't the finest accommodations. It was too crowded or whatever the case might be. But it just wasn't the best place to winter at. And so they got thinking, well, you know what? Down around on the other side, we're going to have to go sail southwest a little bit, and then we'll sail northwest. And down along the island of Crete a little bit further along is a place where we can stay there. And it's much better. And so, but the conditions... So the shipmaster says, I don't see any reason to be concerned. And besides, look around. You want to stay here all winter long? And so the conditions, you know what they'll do? They'll affect our unbiased judgments. I say that tongue in cheek because often we're not unbiased. But our unbiased judgments will be affected by our conditions. And you can make application by that very easily by just thinking about how often you've heard the Word of God and you heard the preacher preach and the truth of the Word came to your heart, but your conditions are saying, no, that just can't be true. That just doesn't apply to me. And it happens all the time, my friend. And so the conditions can affect your viewpoint and affect your situation. Here they were saying, well, this just really isn't a good place to stay for winter. If we could get out of here, it's best if we can. But beyond that, you'll also find that not only did the centurion talk here and there to a few people, it says, by the more part, they advised to depart thence also. In other words, what we find is a general consensus or peer pressure may skew our viewpoints as well. I find that's the real danger of our young people. Is they hear the truth from their parents. They hear the truth from the preaching and the teaching and from their Sunday school teachers. But the peer pressure is great upon them. And all their classmates are saying otherwise. And the preachers and the teachers are standing up and the parents are telling them the truth and they will not hear it. You know why? Pressure. Pressure. So here you got the Apostle Paul standing up saying, don't sail. And everybody's saying, let's sail. This is not good. Let's get out of this place. Oh, I would remind you of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Sometimes, my friend, the direction of God is not going to make sense unto you, but you have to follow God. Don't lean to your own understanding. The Apostle Paul stands up and says, don't sail. It doesn't make sense to any of them. And so what they choose to do? Well, they're going to choose to sail. But do you get the point of the matter here? Paul gives an admonishment, but powers are believed. Other people are believed instead of the truth. And so I submit unto you before we pass on in the text that conditions might test our faith, making it difficult to believe and follow the truth. And a lot of things can come upon us that will help, that will hinder you and help skew your perspective. Then I also would submit that society in general and the world view of those around us will direct us away from God, and they will exert pressure to disobey Him. And I'll tell you, even in our society, it's getting more and more that even professing Christendom, even professing evangelicalism, is starting to put pressure on those who would take a stand. And they're saying, oh, well, you can't act like that, you can't talk like that, you've got to be tolerant and all that kind of a thing. Peer pressure. Conditions. And so you see the story up to this point, and they get the counsel. But here's the thing, too. You look into verse 13, there's prosperous events. And hopefully I'm being clear enough in our progression that this makes good sense to you. Verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And what it is they said, man, we've had a tough time ever since we left Sidon. We barely made it to Tyre. We tried to sail along the coast. We couldn't do it. Had to go below Cyprus, and then we came back up, and then we got to where we needed to be. And now the wind's been against us the whole way. Go back, read the text. It said the wind was against them. And now they're in this place. They want to leave, but they know it's not a good place to stay. But Paul stands up and says, "Don't go." And they said, "But we don't want to stay here." And now this soft wind blows softly. And they go, wow, this is exactly what we're looking for. We need this south wind, and it's a gentle wind. This will take us right where we need to go. Because they have to go southwest, northwest to get to the new place where they would want to stay for the winter. And what we find is that conditions seem favorable to go against the council. Paul says, on one hand, don't sail. All the consideration, advice, conclusion of the matter is we'd like to sail. And now look, here comes the exact wind that we need. Wow, isn't that lucky? Here's the wind, the soft wind. And I'll tell you, sometimes you hear the word of God preached, or the teacher teaches, or the parents are speaking, and friends or other family members might be in your corner. Well, I know what you said, preacher, but my dad said this, or my mom said that, or my sister said this, or my cousin said this, or my grandma said this. And all my friends, they do it this way. And I know what you're saying from the Word of God, but everybody else does it this way. And so it sounds like good circumstances, because everybody does that. Did you ever do that when you were a kid, that where you say, well, everybody else is doing it? Did your parents ever say to you what they said to me? If everybody was jumping off a bridge, would you? That's what they'd say. Sometimes you get the best advice in the world and you shut it out because everybody else is doing something different. You're getting the truth of God. You just will not listen. And as that soft wind blows softly, I got everybody on my side. And what happens is the immediate personal observation doesn't raise a flag. As you look around, there's nothing there to indicate hey, this choice that I'm about to make is a wrong one. I'm going to go against what the preacher says. I'm going to go against what mom and dad says. I'm going to go against what this says. But there's nothing that really raises a flag. The soft winds blowing softly, isn't it? Everybody's in your corner. And of course, then there's always the problem of the heart that's desirous to do the forbidden, you know. And I'll tell you, raising kids is a difficult thing. There's no manual on that. You can read all the self-help books you want. There's no manual on that thing. Read the Bible. That's the best way to rear your children. And I've heard so many times, well, you teach your children, you keep them protected and all that, they're just going to rebel. Well, they might. But if my kids grow up and they're terrible, after they grow up and they're immoral and all that, it isn't because I taught them. And it isn't because I let them. It's going to be despite what they've been taught and despite what they've been trained on. Because I'll tell you what, this matter of freedom, oh, well, just let them do anything they want. You don't want to twist their minds. They're twisted already. They need your direction. That's what you're there for. Teach them, train them. The heart will go against that which is true. That's just the way the heart is. We told our children on a number of occasions, I gave my boys an out. I said, tell them Dad told you. Instead of you having to go and say, I can't do this or I can't go there, tell them I said so. That way the burden's on me. They can make fun of me. They can mock me. And they don't have to ostracize you. You'll be faced with decisions. And you hear the truth. But other people are saying other things. And your heart's saying other things. And you know what? Here it is. They said, well, we don't want to stay here. We got the south wind. Let's go while we can. And do you know what they did? They set sail. Now, Paul had said, don't do it. They wouldn't listen. Now, the first indicators appear that you're right in not following him. And you know, the devil's very clever with that. That south wind blowing softly proves to be a good one. I mean, that's exactly what they're looking for. Let me offer you some illustrations. Robbing God of his tithes and offerings hasn't hurt me. In fact, I've got more money than I've ever had before. Yeah, you just wait. Looks good. You say, well, I can steal from God and get by with it. Yeah. Soft wind's blowing softly. Living together is the most exciting thing. Why should I marry him? You hear it in our society all the time. Soft wind's blowing softly. No problems there. Not yet. Not yet. I'm much calmer since I started drinking. Calm my nerves. Soft wind's blowing softly. You think it's doing a good thing, but you wait. The drugs, my friend, I'll tell you, you better stay away from it. Stay away from them. Because at first it'll seem like it's a good thing, and it's helpful, and I'm better off. And you just knew. Yeah, I knew that preacher was wrong. I knew mom and dad was wrong. They didn't know what they were talking about. I admit I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I admit that. But I'm not the dullest either. And I've been through some experiences in life and I've witnessed some of these things. I don't profess to know everything. There was a time that I did. But I don't profess to know everything now. I knew he was wrong. I knew Dad was wrong. I knew Mom was wrong. I'll tell you, my friend, you better be very careful. I knew that teacher didn't know what they were talking about. That coach didn't have any perspective. All kinds of aspects of truth come upon us. And we have a tendency to shut it out, don't we? And those first indicators come along, and that south wind's blowing softly. And you say, I knew I made the right decision by disobeying God. Oh, you don't really say that, but that's what we're doing. I submit unto you that the consequences for pursuing your own will over God's will are not always immediate or severe. In other words, you can choose to go against God if you want, and you can get that south wind, and you can say, no flags have raised, things look good, we're going to head to our destination just like I had planned. God doesn't always allow those things to come quickly or in a severe fashion. But if you'll notice in the text, problems arise, don't they? Now, this discussion will go from verse 14 all the way down through verse 41. We'll not read all that passage. We'll read the bulk of it. But problems arise, verse 14. So you got the story. Don't sail. Oh, we think we will. And they get it. The south wind's blowing, so they set sail. Verse 14, problems arise. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And very simply is, all they had to do is go out, get far enough away from land so they could sail around the coast of Crete to get to that other place. They didn't even have to go that far out. They just had to clear the reefs and all that. And they got out there, and what happened? That south wind's blowing softly. They said, well, this is great. We're doing well. They get out there, and all of a sudden, they're in the midst of a hurricane in the Mediterranean Sea. Euroclydon comes up. There arose the tempest, it says. And this hurricane comes upon them. Now, that's a problem. You're in one of them old 240-foot ships, you know. I mean, they weren't that long of ships, and 40 feet wide, you know, they might have 250 people on or something like that. Can you imagine coming to America in a Nina Maria or Nina Pinta and Santa Maria? Can you imagine that? They had those wooden ships all over the place. Now they're out there in the Mediterranean Sea, and here comes this hurricane. Whoop! On upon them. Now, Paul had said, don't go. They said, looks good. Got the south wind. Everything's right on. Let's sail. They set sail not long after. Here's the hurricane. And what that teaches us is that trials and tribulations soon arise. They will come. You think that you can disobey God and you think you can do your own thing and you don't think you have to listen to anybody. You have all the answers. You can do that if you want. And it might seem good for a while, but I'll tell you, it's going to come a time that troubles are going to arise. Storm came upon them. And I would remind you that troubles vary in size and strength, but they will come. Not all are hurricanes, but they will come. Sometimes they come in groups. You ever notice that? You know, if it isn't one thing, it's another. Or when it rains, it pours. What I've discovered in the ministry, that I found that when people are in the hospital, it usually comes in groups, usually. Not all the time. But it usually comes in groups. There might be a death, and there might be a surgery, and then there might be another surgery, and it'll come within 2 weeks of each other, 3 weeks of each other. It comes in groups. Then it might go 6 or 8 months, nobody going to the hospital, and then I might have 3 or 4 in the hospital at one time. Amazing, isn't it? It happens. It happens. And here are these guys, they said, let's set sail. We don't want to stay at this old ratty hotel. Let's get to this one down the street. And they set out there. They get out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea out there a little bit, and the hurricane comes in upon them. And I can almost hear the captain of the ship saying, oops, I made a mistake. And the centurion comes knocking on his door saying, what in the world did you do? And the captain says, we had the soft south wind. How many times have you made a mistake? How many times you've heard the truth, but you didn't really hear it? You just got out, and you say, I made a mistake. And I'll tell you, my friend, more times than I can count, I've counseled people, given them the truth out of God's words, and it was like water running off a duck's back. Over and over and over again. And sometimes I just scratch my head and just keep praying for them because they just will not listen. Oops, I made a mistake. And here they are out in the middle of the Mediterranean. The storm comes upon them. And I want to remind you, my dear friend, that some results may be undone, but some cannot. These guys getting out there in that ship, the results of that's going to happen. Well, you're going to see it in just a minute as it unfolds, but some of the choices you make and the things that you decide, because you're not going to listen to mom and dad, you're not going to listen to the teacher, you're not going to listen to the preacher, you're going to do what you want, you know it all. Go for it if you want, but I'll tell you, some of those results that you bring upon yourself cannot be undone. Praise God, some will, but some won't. So verse 15 down through verse 20, you'll find that there's much work of keeping the ship afloat, difficult times, very discouraging. It talks about how they had to go down and undergird the ship. They threw stuff overboard to try to lighten the ship, and they were very discouraged. It says all hope was taken away. So pick it up in verse 21. Here they're out in the middle of this hurricane, And the problems arise, of course, in this hurricane. Paul rebukes them. What? Are you kidding? This is the last thing you'd expect from a preacher, wouldn't it? Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. What Paul's simply saying to them, after a period of time, he stands up in their midst, speaks to them, and he said, You had the truth. I told you not to sail, and you wouldn't listen. You should have listened. But now you've gained this harm and loss. We've already tossed a bunch of stuff overboard, and we're not finished yet. And what we find here is that Paul rebukes them. And by the way, I don't see him rebuking them with a bitterness or a gloating. But he's just really pointing out their previous mistake. That's all he's doing. Now, I know as parents, we've got to be very careful about that, because sometimes we'll get the kids, we'll tell them, and they won't listen. Of course, they do their own thing, and they come back, and we'll say, Told you so. And just the attitude about that is just arrogant, isn't it? Told you. See, I'm right. Well, I don't see that as the Apostle Paul's attitude here at all. But he is telling them, I told you not to leave. You wouldn't listen to me. And so you suffered this loss. He's just pointing out their mistake. In fact, I see him as being very deliberate and tactful. It says after long abstinence. And in the proper timing, I think he's just bringing a lesson home. And the truth of the matter is, dear child, your parents come to you and they say, Listen, I told you, and see what you've done. It's not because they're happy about it. It's not because they're gloating about it. It's not because they're arrogant about it. They just want to get it through your thick skull. You can tell I've been told that a billion times. My dad said that to me all the time. He called me thick. He says, You're a numbskull, and you've got a thick skull. My dad told me that on numerous occasions because apparently I did. Paul stands up and he says, You should have listened to me. He just wants them to know, you know what? It's good to take good counsel. That's all it is. That's all it is. And often it is necessary to point out the prior rejection and the resulting harm, all for the hopes of deterring a repeat of performance in the future. Why do parents harp on their children? They don't want to see them make that mistake again. That's why. It's not because we're nagging you to death. We just want you to know this is harmful for you. Avoid it. And Paul stands up. He rebukes them. Verse 22 to verse 26, but he also comforts them. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And so Paul stands up and he says, You should have listened, but you didn't. But by the way, God's still working. God's still in control. Take courage. But also at the same time, the trouble's not over yet, is it? The wind still blows. They're in the middle of a hurricane. But he says, Be of good courage. And what he's telling them is, good will come. You will be rescued. But there's going to be a lot of damage, and that damage cannot be reversed. Every life will be saved, but we're going to lose the ship. Everything on the ship will be gone. My friend, I remind you that God always does not undo what we have done. He will not always eliminate the consequences, but He will give us grace to endure and move forward. So you can ignore the truth and you can go on your merry way and you can follow the south wind if you want to. But you're going to incur troubles and trials and tribulations, and judgment's going to come upon you, and God doesn't always take that stuff away. But He will give you grace. He will give you grace. So Paul comforts them in the middle. They're still not finished. They got to still deal with the storm. Verse 27 through verse 29, they discover an island, and they cast out anchors, and then they decide the next day we're going to try to get into this area, and they ground the ship. And, well, pick it up, verse 30 through verse 32, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under colors as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Do you just see this very brief story here? Well, they ran the ship aground. And these people wanted to escape before they ran out of ground, and so they let this, they act like they were casting anchors out, and they put the boat down, they were going to escape. And Paul sees that, and he says, if anybody gets out of the boat, nobody will make it. And so he warns them, and so the centurion went over there and took the soldiers, they cut the ropes and let the boat fall, so everybody's stuck on the ship. Then they ran out of ground, and it crashes and all that. But what I find here is now they're willing to listen, but it's a little too late. Paul told them to stay right there in the fair havens. Stay here. I perceive there's going to be great harm of this ship. Don't sail. They would not listen. Now they get out here and they get all this experience and encouragement under their belt about, hey, we should have listened to the guy. And a storm comes, and now Paul says, by the way, these guys, if they get out, all will die. The centurion, he believes them now. Goes over, cuts the ropes. No lack of faith on that one. And what we learn from that is that once a counselor is proven, if you will, we tend to listen. Once the parents demonstrate that they've been right time and time again, eventually, hopefully, the children will listen. Students will listen. The church members will listen. People will obey. Now, in quick application, that's the text. The storm goes through verse 41 and the rest of it, and they make it to Rome eventually. But in application, very quickly, I just want to submit unto you, you know what? There's all kinds of biblical counsel you might receive, and if you're saved, you're going to receive biblical counsel for life and living. I would say take heed to what God has to say. Don't diminish the Word of God. Don't just say, well, my friends are doing this. Forget what that preacher says. Forget what the Word of God says. I'll do it my way. You can do it your way, and you're going to regret it. Listen to what God has to say. That's the most important thing. For those of us who are saved, let's respond to biblical counsel. You that are lost, you need direction from God as you face the storm in your soul. You need the Savior. Will you listen? How many times I've witnessed the lost people, they just won't hear. I just submit unto you that if you fail to take heed to God's Word, you're going to suffer loss. It's your choice. You don't have to listen. You can tune out everything I've said today and say, well, you know, that's kind of harsh, cruel, mean, and I don't have to listen to anything you have to say, preacher. No, you don't. But I'll tell you, take God's Word. It's not my Word, it's God's Word. If you fail to take heed to God's Word, there's going to come a time you're going to regret that. I hope you really get the sense of what I'm trying to offer you today. In conclusion, let me say this. Just a few things, I'll be done. You would do well to avail yourself of God's Word and to surround yourself with people who offer godly counsel. It's a good thing. Number two, you are best served if you attend the preaching of God's Word on a regular basis. It's kind of hard to do God's will if you don't know what it is. So hear God's Word on a regular basis. Number three, take heed to God and His Word and the truths that are brought to you by God's people. Your godly counsel that you receive from your godly fellow church member, you ought to listen to it. You ought to listen to it. The preacher, whoever. If you get godly counsel, take it. And then I submit unto you, do not think that you know more than God. Do not think that you know more than God. For sake of time, I was going to give you the illustration of Jeremiah and Zedekiah in Jeremiah chapter 38. Read that. This afternoon, tomorrow, read Jeremiah chapter 38 from verse 14 and following. And Jeremiah tells the king, this is what you need to do. The king says, but I can't do that. They'll all hate me. They'll all make fun of me. And Jeremiah says, no, they won't. Listen to what God has to say. And he wouldn't do it. And the city was burned and he was taken into Babylonian captivity because he would not obey God. You can read that. I also want to mention unto you very quickly, when I was in college, there was a time our group was going to go to the person's house. We were going to have fellowship at this person's house. And I just knew that where that person's house was. I was sure of it. And I said, okay, I know where it is, and I'm going to go here and down. And they said, no, that's not right. And this girl, especially, she says, no, that's not right. That's not the right place. I said, yeah, it is. You go here and you turn right. And she says, no, it isn't. I said, yes, it is. She said, no, it isn't. And she was adamant that I was wrong, and I was adamant that I was right. And I went out there looking for that house, and you know what? I drove all around, couldn't find that house. And we didn't have GPS, and we didn't have cell phones and all that kind of thing. That was a long time ago. And I finally had to go back home, get the phone, and call and say, where do you guys live? But I just knew where they lived. I had it in my mind, and I was not going to listen to anybody. And she said, you're wrong. You're not going to find it that way. I said, oh, yeah, I'll find it. I couldn't find it. I had to get redirections. I tell you, sometimes we think we know it all. That south wind will blow. And oh, we got all the people in our corner. You better take heed, my friend. Better do what God wants you to do. Be obedient to Him. Finally, may I say, I don't think that every time a preacher preaches or someone gives you advice that they do it because they have to or because it's their job or their place to do it. More times than you realize, I think that we stand here because we love you and we have a love for Christ. Whether it's in church or whether it's in school or whether at home, wherever it is, my friend, if someone tells you the truth, tells you that which is right, whether you agree with it or not, be careful in thinking that you know more. For oftentimes, our human know-how gets us in trouble. And most often, only God can get us out. Human know-how can be very dangerous because we'll go against God. Serving the Lord or needing salvation, whatever your need is today, you think you know, but you better be dead sure you have the right directions. The other day, I was walking down a street in a neighborhood. I noticed on my driveway and on the sidewalk a bunch of worms. I don't know if they're in your neighborhood or not, but there are worms all over my sidewalk and on my driveway. And it occurred to me yesterday when I was going down there, and I looked at that and I thought, you know what? Christians are like that. These worms, for whatever reason, had the brilliant idea to leave the grass. Probably because they wanted to warm up a little bit because of the rain and all that and get out there, sun themselves a little bit. And they got out there on the sidewalk and what happened? They got stuck. They made a good choice. They thought they did anyway. They got out, got away, and here they are on the sidewalk. Now the sun comes out, beats down on them, now they're all fried. I saw many of you shake your heads when I mentioned about worms on the sidewalk. And you know what? There are some of you today that have made your choices, and you're getting out, and you're getting away from God, and you think that you're doing the right thing. You just don't get stuck on the sidewalk. Those worms died, but I'll tell you, dear sinner friend, the Bible says that hell is a place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And you can disobey God and you can go your merry way and you can decline Jesus Christ and you can refuse Him. And you don't have to listen to the preacher and what he says about being saved, but there's going to come a time you wish you had. All sinner that you might be saved, Christian that you might, tend to God's Word, hear it, respond to it, and be obedient. Children, listen to your parents. Listen to the preachers. Listen to the teachers. My friend, get good godly counsel. Take heed. This story is a perfect example of human know-how, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you and God speaks to your heart with it. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you are, if you don't know Christ, that you would repent, believe on Him, call upon Him that you might be saved. And if you're saved, maybe God's speaking to you about, hey, you're going astray. You've gone out. You won't listen. This would be a great time to just bow your head and ask God to forgive you. Respond to Him. Do what God would have you to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Oh God, I just pray that you'd take these things by the power of your Spirit, overcome any frail things which I've said, any faulty things, and just take the truth, apply it to every heart that the lost might be saved and the saved might be encouraged and strengthened. Help us to be obedient to you. Help us to see the truth, recognize the truth. Let us not be deceived by those who are giving us false counsel and by the peer group who lead us astray. Let us be following you. And I ask for every parent here that you give them wisdom as they deal with their children. And we pray for the children that they might have wisdom to listen to the good counsel of their parents. And God, you know every one of our hearts. Draw us to you. Forgive us for our sins and cleanse us. Bless our church and all the churches today as the word goes out. May your will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?